Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they said. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Well, this morning we're going to continue with a series that we started last week. It's on the theme of how we should respond to God and God's, our knowledge of God, our experience of God in our lives. We've spent, I think it was about 3 months, we were looking at God, learning more about him, learning about his attributes, learning about his names, learning about his character. And last week we began our service with a verse on the screen: "In view of God's mercy, offer yourselves to him as living sacrifices." And this should be our reasonable offer of worship to the Lord. So we began looking last week on how we should respond, to God. We had a little dip into the songbook, the Psalms, the songbook in the Hebrew Bible, which reveal how we, God's people, should respond to him. Things like to fear God, to awe him, to love him, to rejoice in the Lord, to worship the Lord, to serve him, to seek to glorify him. And last week and over the next week as well, we're focusing our attention on last week, what it means to love and worship God. Today we're going to look at what it means to serve God. And next week, what it means to fear God. Last week, in relation to serving God, we discovered that God desires that we love him, we worship him with all of our beings, with our minds, with our affections, with our wills and bodies. Our minds, thinking often and highly about God. Our affections stirred to express affection to God. Our wills engaged and surrendered to the will of God. Our bodies offered in service to God. And service, the outworking of our love and worship to God through our bodies, is our theme this morning. Such a holistic response towards God is very important to God. Our service is very important to Him. And I want to highlight that to us this morning. First of all, I want to bring before your mind key moments, key important speeches by Israel's leader to the nation at key points. And we'll see that the word service came up on each of those occasions. So beginning with Samuel, this is Samuel's farewell speech to the nation. And this is what he said on that occasion. Fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things the Lord has done for you. Serve Him faithfully with all your heart. So that's Samuel's farewell speech. Then Moses' speech to the nation. This is after Sinai, as they set off for the promised land. Deuteronomy 10. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. So that's Samuel, that's Moses. Let's turn to Joshua. This is Joshua's speech to the nation after they possessed the land. Joshua 22, be very careful to observe the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cling to Him and to serve Him. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So often we pick up on the aspect that, and it does say that we're to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. But it says the same thing for serving Him, and the same thing for worshipping Him. They're all interrelated together. So service is an important theme. It's through these key figures, key important speeches in the life of Israel. Service is also important in Christ's teaching to His disciples, and Christ's teaching through His apostles. So I want to mention one or two verses about that. Words of Christ to His disciples. John 12, if anyone serves Me, he must follow Me. Wherever I am, there will My servant be also. If anyone serves Me, the Father will honor him. Then the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, chapter 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And then to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. And then a letter to Jewish converts in Hebrews, in Rome, Hebrews chapter 9. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So the teaching of the Old Testament and New Testament is the importance of service. That God has saved us to serve Him. That God desires and requires that we serve Him fervently and faithfully with our whole being, spirit, soul, and bodies. And that God will honor and reward us for our service in a coming day. So it's important for us to know, have this understanding when we look at a theme, say, well, what is the Bible saying? And then now what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on the perfect model, an example for our service, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we learn about service from looking at Him? Christ models humble, loving, sacrificial service in obedience to His Father on behalf of a broken, sinful world, but also on behalf of His people. And what is important to note as we look at Christ's service, we're going to do a little survey on His service throughout His life. Important to note at the outset that it was not led by the amount of needs that surrounded Him. As we read through the Gospels, we see multitudes of people flocking to Him, surrounding Him. He wasn't led primarily by the volume of the need that came before Him. He was moved, He was concerned. But He was led by the guiding, directing hand of His Heavenly Father. We read these remarkable words, words that Jesus spoke, recorded in John chapter 5. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. What incredible oneness with His Father. What remarkable submission and obedience to the will of the Father. And He was in tune with Him. And He was following Him. And He was obeying His impulses. And what an inspiration and model to us. God, our Heavenly Father, desires the same for us as we move around our lives and with so much need round about us, to be open to the leading and guiding of God's Spirit and say, look, I want you to minister to this one. I want you to minister to that one. And this is the way I want you to minister. And this is how I want you to minister. So let's look at Christ's life of service. What's remarkable as we look at the life of Christ is that for the first 30 years of Christ's life, His Heavenly Father desired that He serve the needs of His family. And He served the needs of His community in Nazareth as a carpenter. And what is truly remarkable is that next to nothing is revealed about that period, but it must have been important, because 30 out of Christ's 33 years were spent serving in that way. And Christ served His family and He served His community well. How do we know that? Well, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that He grew in favor with God and with man. And we know at His baptism that His Father said, well done, I'm pleased with you. But there was that pleasure, that approval, that favor from the people that He served in those 30 years. And He served His family and He served His community well, because He lived according to the wisdom that God gave Him. We read in those verses in Luke 2 that he grew in stature and in wisdom, and he served with wisdom. He was a wise young man. He was wise. God gave him wisdom to serve the various needs in his family and his community. This is an example to us that God wants us to serve him in the everyday humdrum routine affairs of life, in the everyday responsibilities of life, in our homes, in our family circle, in our workplace, in our community, seeking to please our Heavenly Father in everything, seeking to live by his wisdom, his principles, his values, his character. And as we do, we will be a blessing in our home. We'll be a blessing in our family circle. We'll be a blessing in our community. At the age of 30, Christ's Heavenly Father called him to serve him in wider, more public ways. His service, according to Luke 4 that we read earlier, consisted of proclaiming good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. To fulfill that service, he was anointed, he was equipped by the Holy Spirit, and he was led by his Heavenly Father. Christ fulfilled that service in the miracles that he performed, healing every kind of sickness and disease. And such was the impact of his miracles that people continually flocked to him by day and often late in the evening. What an incredible service Christ performed to our sick world through his healing touch. Our Heavenly Father desires that we, his people, minister to our suffering world. Pray for the sick in our family. Pray for the sick in our friendship circle. Bring support and comfort during life's challenges and troubles. The pandemic has increased the need for support and comfort, giving us, God's people, many opportunities for service. One being the food hub, which opened up in the pandemic. And we've had opportunity, hopefully, I trust, to have coffee, refreshments in people's gardens when we were allowed to do that. And then in our homes, there's been a new opportunity to connect with people. Or the coffee pot. Since we had the freedom to meet, the numbers have increased. It's been a need, real need in our community. God's given us an opportunity to serve in a greater way. It's important that we respond as God leads us and enables us by his Spirit. The conflict in Ukraine has given the church many opportunities for service. I want to read a letter from a church pastor in Ukraine. During this critical moment, our church, which has about 1,000 people attending on a normal Sunday, is also a place of service. We've recently conducted several trainings on performing first aid. People are learning to apply a tourniquet, stop bleeding, apply bandages, and manage airways. These lay people are not going to become doctors, but this has given them confidence to care for their neighbors, if necessary. In fact, when I first announced the first aid training, one brother told me, "Now I know why I need to stay in Ukraine. He had planned to leave. But he knew he was not a soldier. He wasn't able to take up arms and fight. But he now wants to stay to help the wounded and to save lives. The pastor goes on, if necessary, the church premises can be turned into a shelter. We have a good basement. We're ready to deploy a healing station, as well as provide a place for a military hospital. To make this a reality, we are creating response teams. If martial law is declared, they're ready with a strategic supply of fuel, food and material for dressing wounds. We've even gathered information on who in the church are doctors, mechanics, plumbers, even who has wells in case of a water shortage. We have decided to stay, both as a family and as a church. And when this is over, the citizens of Kiev will remember how Christians have responded in their time of need. And while the church may not fight like the nation, we still believe we have a role to play in this struggle. We will shelter the weak, serve the suffering, and mend the broken. And as we do, we offer the unshakable hope of Christ and his gospel. What an incredible response from the church in Ukraine. What a model to follow, for us to follow. We don't know how the fuel crisis will impact our country. We may have to do many of these things in the future as well. Christ fulfilled his manifesto of healing to a suffering world through his miracles. However, there was a far greater healing that mankind needed. Healing from our bondage to sin and Satan. Mankind's rebellion against God had brought about that bondage. That picture in that manifesto didn't just speak of the physical needs and sufferings. It's a portrayal of man's spiritual and moral poverty. Man's sin, man's rebellion against God, the consequences of that made us spiritually and morally poor and blind and imprisoned and oppressed. How great is our spiritual, moral sickness? Because of our terrible bondage to sin and Satan, because of our guilt, because of our sins, Christ had to serve his Father and on our behalf by enlightening mankind through his teaching about our true spiritual state and our need of salvation from God. And as we read the Gospels, we see Christ. We see him healing. But we see him speaking. We see him preaching. We see him proclaiming, I must go on to the next place. They need to hear. They need to know. Teaching the multitudes that gathered around him about their great spiritual need, that he was the answer. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He was serving the spiritual needs of the nation, of the people round about him. And because he was away at the age of 33, Christ provided the salvation they needed through his death on the cross for our sins and rising again. The story of Easter. And through acknowledging our sin to God and through receiving Christ as Savior, we can experience, going back to that picture of Christ's manifesto, we can experience the riches, the freedom, the favor of God's wonderful salvation. Christ's sacrificial service in obedience to his Father on our behalf, it made that possible. I wonder, have you received that? Have you allowed Christ to serve you in your spiritual needs? Your greatest needs, your most profound need is your spiritual needs. Have you allowed him to serve you? To save you? And God desires that his people serve our spiritually and morally sick world by revealing mankind's true spiritual state before God. Our bondage to the power of sin, the power of Satan, our guilt before God, our need of God's salvation, and how we can be saved and delivered and healed through repentance of our sin and faith in Christ. The church in Ukraine are doing that. During this time of severe conflict, we read these words, offering the unshakable hope of Christ and his gospel. Isn't that incredible? And it's often when things begin to disintegrate in our lives, the material things that we prize and hold on to that props us up, along with our faith, when these props begin to disintegrate, we begin to realize the foundation that's holding us, and we treasure the eternal things, the eternal values in a greater way. And it's often God has to bring his people through these difficult, trying times for us to have that, be aware of that unshakable hope that we have and the gospel. And we begin to share it in a greater way. Christ desires that we do that. Minister to the physical needs of those round about us as God leads and guides us. But always have in our radar their underlying greater spiritual need, and be ready and be willing, be eager to meet those greater spiritual needs. Christ not only served the needs of a broken world, but he served the needs of his followers. In particular, the 12 disciples whom he had daily contact with over a 3-year period. And what is recorded mostly in those gospel narratives is his attending to their spiritual needs, which is our greatest needs as believers. Christ served his people's spiritual needs by teaching, by training, by praying for them, by equipping them to be leaders in the church who would teach and who would train others when he would return to heaven. And there were occasions when Christ met his disciples' physical needs. They were part of that 5,000 who Christ fed with loaves and fishes. We read of Christ on another occasion leading his disciples to a place of solitude for much needed rest. Christ served the needs of his followers while on this earth. And now in heaven, he continues to serve the needs of his followers through his Spirit indwelling them, through his Word guiding them, and through his church, through his body supporting them. God desires that we serve the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters. Christ's body in the church family to which we belong and around the world. Like H4, that charity we mentioned earlier, helping in all these practical ways, supporting, serving Christ's family in prayer, in fellowship, in encouragement, in comfort. And often the encouragement and comfort, it's the scriptures, isn't it? Comfort, comfort my people. It's the scriptures. It's the greatest comfort we need. And that's what the Bible Society are running out of. Because it's what people need most. There's that hunger. It's God's word. It's what they need. They're crying out for in Ukraine. And in practical ways as God leads us and enables us. And as we do, as we serve, God builds up and he strengthens his church. And God enlarges his church as well. So let's commit ourselves afresh to God's service this morning. I believe that God's leading us into times where our service is really going to count. You know, the pandemic was a time that it counted. You know, God raised up the Food Hub and other ways of ministering. And as our nation will feel the economic hit in a greater way, there's going to be opportunities for us to serve in greater ways. In such a time as this, God has placed us here. So let's be switched on, that God could use us. If, whatever age we are, we can serve. We can serve in ways that God can lead us.